Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Kingdom Men Rising, Devotional, by Tony Evans, narrated by Myron Willis. Day 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God created the man prior to creating the woman, like pouring a foundation first, because the success or failure of God's created purpose of building his kingdom in history would be directly related to a man's relationship with and submission to God's rule over his life. Foundations don't have to be fancy or pretty, but they do have to be strong. When a foundation is weak, everything resting on it is at risk. God holds the man ultimately responsible for holding up what he has entrusted to his care, while simultaneously advancing his kingdom program. If God can get his men to pursue an intimate relationship with him, while simultaneously representing him in all we do, he will reverse the downward spiral of the culture. God is waiting on his kingdom men to rise from our spiritual slumber and accept the responsibility of reversing the decay and disunity that engulf us. Just as the first Adam brought defeat to the human race, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came to bring victory. It's time for God's men, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to change the trajectory of our culture as we submit ourselves to him and his kingdom agenda. Action 1. Assess your personal foundation on a scale of 1 through 10. 2. What practice can you put in place to strengthen the foundation you provide to those around you? 3. Name one thing you are willing to do this week in order to start heading in that direction. Prayer. Jesus, open my eyes to the truth of where I am strong and where I am weak as a man. Help me to have the humility that is necessary to shore up the foundation and fill in the cracks where it is needed most. I ask for greater wisdom and strength as I pursue you and your role for me to rise up as a kingdom man so that I can have a positive impact on the culture and on those I love. In your name, amen. Day 2. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Awakening our biblical manhood requires the commitment and the discipline to honor God in all we do. But what we often forget is that this determination is frequently formed in us over the course of our lives. It doesn't just appear out of nowhere. We are in this together. Nothing difficult we overcome ever rests solely on our own shoulders. That's one reason God emphasizes unity and the power of fellowship and discipleship throughout Scripture. If you saw the film series The Lord of the Rings, you likely remember one of the most famous scenes. It comes toward the end of The Return of the King. The main character, Frodo, whose role it was to carry the burden of the evil ring to its destruction and thus save the world, had lost all strength. He lay unable to move forward. If he didn't make it to the top of the mountain to throw the ring in the fire, the quest would be lost. That's when his companion, Sam, made a bold move. Scooping Frodo up in his arms and lifting him onto his back, he carried Frodo when he could no longer move forward on his own. "Come on, Mr. Frodo," he says with all the strength he can muster. "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." Similarly, we as men may not be able to carry each other's burdens, but we can do our part to lift, encourage, support, and draw near to those in need, to help them finish the task of overcoming any evil that seeks to defeat them. Action. 1. Identify hesitancies you have toward helping other men carry their burdens. 2. In what ways can you overcome these hesitancies in order to fulfill your role as a kingdom man? 3. What are some hindrances that keep men from accepting someone else's help, and in what ways do you identify with these? Prayer. Jesus, I want to be a greater help to other men in need. Show me how I can strengthen my own walk with you in order to be better positioned to help someone else. Give me wisdom on how I can use the gifts and grace you have given to me to support, encourage, and lift up men around me. In your name, amen. Day 3. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We need kingdom men who are willing to invest not only in their own personal growth and opportunities, but also in others. We need men who are willing to sacrifice time and effort to unleash someone else's potential. We are in this thing called life together. That's how we make it. That's how we man up. That's how we change the world for God and for good. We do it by living out the definition of a kingdom man, a male who visibly and consistently submits to the comprehensive relationship and rule of God underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of his life. A kingdom man accepts his responsibilities under God and faithfully carries them out. These responsibilities include caring for his family, serving in his church, and being present to positively impact others around him. When he is faithful to do these things and more, God moves even pagan powers and other forces on earth to support him in advancing the kingdom agenda. God brings upon him the blessings and favor he promised to Abraham years ago. When a kingdom man lives according to his designed purpose, he joins with other men in influencing culture, politics, entertainment, and more through intentional discipleship. This process produces kingdom disciples who then go and do the same. The process becomes cyclical, leading to multi-generational impact. Action. 1. Write the definition of a kingdom man where you can look at it over the course of the next week. Seek to memorize this definition. 2. What are some practical examples of consistently submitting to God's comprehensive rule over every area of life? 3. Name one area where you do not consistently submit to God's rule and identify one way you can seek to change that. Prayer. Jesus, I desire and intend to live as a kingdom man who consistently submits to the comprehensive relationship and rule of God underneath your lordship in every area of my life. I do not always live up to this desire, so I ask for your mercy and grace for those times I do not. Show me also how to extend mercy and grace to myself so that I do not live in guilt and shame for falling short. In your name, amen. Day 4. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. As kingdom men, we must grab hold of those who need to be shown a better way, rather than write them off. Paul told Timothy and others in his sphere of influence that they were to follow his example as he followed Christ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, and Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Keep in mind that to have an example to follow means you must have someone setting one. This requires living in a spiritually mature manner and guiding others in how to do likewise. It takes both ongoing personal discipline and intentional investment in others. While many of us are waiting on God to fix what is wrong, He is waiting on us to step up as men of faith and do what is right. He is waiting on men who don't just talk about faith, but also walk in it. These are the men whose actions demonstrate that they truly believe in the God they claim to worship. One way we do this is through intentional investments in relationships, as well as mutual learning in a spiritual context. The more formal term for this is discipleship. We are to live as kingdom disciples, pursuing the making of more kingdom disciples throughout our communities, our nation, and the world. A kingdom disciple can be defined as a believer who takes part in the spiritual development of progressively learning to live all of life under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then seeks to replicate that process in others. As this is done, God's kingdom agenda marches forward on earth. Action. 1. Write out the definition of a kingdom disciple where you can look at it over the course of the next week. Seek to memorize this definition. 2. In what ways can you seek to replicate the process of discipleship in others? 3. Why is it important to disciple others? Prayer. Jesus, motivate my heart to follow you more closely and to replicate your will and ways in those around me. Inspire me to be more intentional about impacting others for good and your glory. Encourage me through allowing me to see the fruit of this impact when and where I can. In your name, amen. Day 5. Roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and look now and take note. And seek in her open squares, if you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Over and over, God has called men to intervene on behalf of a dying land. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 records it this way. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. The land had plenty of males, but God couldn't find a man. There's a big difference between being a male and being a kingdom man. You can be one without the other when you refuse to take responsibility under God. Taking responsibility means owning the issues that show up in your life and in the lives of your loved ones. It starts by removing the word blame from your vocabulary. No matter who is at fault, it is your role to fix it. That's what a kingdom man does. To blame someone else only leads to bitterness. Bitterness then gives birth to other sins, like anger, resentment, and even betrayal. God is searching for men who will stand in the gap for their families, churches, communities, and land. Standing in the gap requires courage. It requires personal responsibility. It requires a removal of blame, finger-pointing, and a victim mentality. Once we put these mindsets aside, we are better positioned to create favorable outcomes for ourselves and those we love and shepherd. Action. 1. If God were to search our nation for men who would stand in the gap so He would not destroy us, how many do you think you would find? 2. Would you be someone God would consider as one who does justice and who seeks truth? 3. What does it look like in everyday life to do justice or to seek truth? Prayer. Jesus, help me gain a better understanding of what it means to do justice and seek truth according to your word. I want to be a kingdom man who stands in the gap and who you call on when intervention is needed in our land. Open my heart and train my ears to hear you more clearly, so I can live for you and your kingdom agenda. In your name, amen. Day 6. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. God regularly instructed his men on the crucial importance of two aspects of life, righteousness and justice, Exodus chapter 34. Righteousness is the moral standard that should govern every man's life and choices. Justice is the equitable application of God's moral standard as demonstrated in society. Many people identify with and commend the need for righteousness, but not as many understand why justice is similarly as vital. This has caused a condensed approach to discipleship and cultural influence by believers today, resulting in little overall societal impact. Kingdom men, it is our role to seek out the manifestation of justice in our culture. We are to rise up for those who cannot do so on their own. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8. We do this by ensuring fair treatment and equal opportunities for the meeting of basic human needs, such as education and employment. Without opportunity, many people lose hope. And one of the primary problems we are facing today is an increased sense of hopelessness. That's why we need men who will be committed not only to evangelizing people for heaven, but also to improving people's lives on earth. The kingdom of God involves both heaven and earth. We impact the culture at large when we influence individuals nearby. Action. 1. Describe in your own terms the difference between righteousness and justice. 2. Which one do you see yourself pursuing more regularly for yourself and others? 3. What is one thing you can do to increase your ability to live out both aspects simultaneously? Prayer. Jesus, you have instructed us to pursue a life that honors the principles of both righteousness and justice. It's not one without the other. Neither does one eclipse the other. Help me to understand how I need to grow as a kingdom disciple in order to be able to fully represent the King and his kingdom in both areas well. In your name, amen. Day 7. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. You have been created by God with a specific post he wants you to fulfill and a purpose he wants you to live out. He has scouted you, pursued you, and drafted you for his kingdom team. You have a divinely orchestrated reason for your manhood. Now, I know the culture wants to give you a whole slew of other reasons for being a man, but God says clearly that he created you for something great. Granted, that purpose may seem elusive right now. You may have to search for it, like the Avengers searched for the Infinity Stones. But if you will search for it, you will find it. Instead of looking for your purpose, look for God. After all, he knows your purpose. Once you find him and become intimate with him, he will reveal it to you. God has placed your purpose in you in seed form. You grow that seed through an intentional pursuit of him. When you learn his ways, like an athlete learns the plays, desires, and instincts of a coach, you will align yourself with all that is needed to maximize your potential. Your effort involves aligning yourself within His grid and with His design. God will bring about your greatness. You don't need to force it, manipulate to get it, or obsessively work toward it. Draw close to God, and God will fulfill your purpose both for you and through you. Action. 1. Describe your approach to pursuing an intimate relationship with God. 2. In what ways can you strengthen this approach? 3. What one thing from your answer to the previous question are you willing to implement this week? Prayer. Jesus, help me not to get distracted by pursuing my purpose rather than looking to you, because you know why I am here and what I am to accomplish. You know what I need to do to experience the greatest fulfillment of my personal destiny. Draw me near to you and enable me to know you more fully and hear you more clearly every day. In your name, amen. Day 8. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. An authentic spiritual life doesn't come through rituals, budgets, programs, buildings, or even religion. Spiritual life, power, and strength come from the Spirit. The closer you are to the Spirit, the more abundant life you experience and the more influence you have. John chapter 10, verse 10. Chapter 15, verse 7. The further you drift from Christ's Spirit, the more death and decay you experience in the various aspects of your life. An important part of maturing spiritually comes from healing in those areas that hold you back. Forgiveness frees you from the slavery of self-pity and blame. Both make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. You must intentionally pursue personal spiritual growth, maturity, and mental and spiritual health if you are to have a lasting impact on the lives you touch. As we all grow and develop individually, it will enable us to identify, own, and address the issues plaguing us on many fronts today, culturally and as the body of Christ. As kingdom men, we must own our roles in guiding others to the one true King. We must own the responsibility of calling a culture in decline back to Christ. It's time we awaken not only ourselves, but also the culture at large, so that we will take to the field and overcome the enemy's position. Action. 1. On a scale of 1 through 10, how much of the spiritual abundant life do you feel you are experiencing? 2. What things can you do in order to move that number higher on the scale? 3. Why is spiritual maturity an ongoing pursuit rather than a one-time goal? Prayer. Jesus, draw out the plans you have for me from the depths of my understanding into the forefront of my awareness. Help me to see the swiftest route to spiritual maturity so that I can take it fully without fail. Give me grace to grow and experience all that I am meant to be for your glory and others' good. In your name, amen. Day 9. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. A valley is a low place. It's that place where you have to look up just to see the bottom. The biblical account of Ezekiel and an army of skeletons can be compared to a valley. The bones in Ezekiel's valley jumped together like too many things stuffed in a drawer, nothing connected as it should be. I don't expect you to identify literally with Ezekiel's account or with dismembered bones, but if you think about the meaning behind the story, you may be able to identify with it. Because many men live dismembered lives. They don't see hope. Their lives, hopes, dreams, relationships, feel broken. There seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel unless it's the light of an oncoming train. When questions come up about how to cure the plague of missing biblical manhood in our nation that leads to so many societal ills, most responses come with a shrug of the shoulders. Far too many Christian men are broken. Ezekiel's own words when he was asked if the skeletons could ever rise up may reflect our own. To paraphrase, only God knows, verse 3. That's a polite way of saying, I don't think any of us knows how to solve this. At all. But if you read further, Ezekiel's story does bring hope. But only when he learns to look to God, and God alone, for the solution to life's struggles. Action. 1. Can you identify an area or areas in your life that feel like these dry bones? 2. What would it take for you to hope again that God can restore, revive, and redeem what has been broken or lost? 3. Take a moment to ask God to do that. Prayer. Jesus, show me the life that can be given to the areas of my life that seem dead, dismembered, broken, or lost. Remind me of your power. Restore my shaken faith. Let me know that it is okay to hope again and believe again, because you are able to do exceedingly beyond what I could ask or even imagine. In your name, amen. Day 10. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. Many men lack answers for how to address the issues in their lives. What's more, they lack the assurance of faith that what seems broken in their lives, homes, and nation, could ever be restored. Perhaps it's a broken marriage. Could be a dead-end career. Might be a miserable mentality. We are certainly witnessing a disastrous moral framework, not only in our society, but in our entertainment, in our music, and often in our churches and our own lives as well. Yet whatever has caused so many men's Christian strength to lie limp on the ground seems to have sucked away hope for a solution as well. Maybe that describes you. If that's you, I would argue that hope has gone primarily because it's hard to fix a problem when you don't know or choose to ignore the cause. Hope leaves when we focus on the symptoms and not on the sins that brought the symptoms about. Whenever you are looking for a cure, you must address the cause. Far too many laymen, pastors, and politicians are doing patchwork on symptoms rather than dealing with the systemic roots that have caused the decay. If we are ever to get our lives, homes, churches, and nation right, we have to address the spiritual causes beneath the brokenness. We'll look at some possible causes in the upcoming devotions. Action. 1. What happens when you fail to address the cause of a sickness? 2. Describe how that also applies to spiritual sicknesses, such as sin. 3. Is there an area in your life where you haven't identified the cause of the troubles you face, which has kept you from either healing or overcoming? Prayer. Jesus, I want to address the cause of any trials or chaos in my life, family, church, and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?